This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
So tonight's a big presidential address. We'll be invading Venezuela, facilitating regime change, or will the president just be talking about the economy? I don't know. No one knows. Only the shadow knows. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. 30 minutes of nonstop talk brought to you by the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey, where we're going to be this coming Friday. Not Congress Hall, Kathleen. Got an email from Kathleen wondering if I was going to be at Congress Hall. No, although I love Congress Hall, we will be at the Grand Hotel of Cape May. That's my happy place. That's my favorite hotel. That's where I recommend you go. And certainly that's where we'll be from 3 to 7 p.m. at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. So come out and join us this coming Friday for our next and final live show of the year, my last show of the year. And that's that. And that's a wrap, baby. All right, for 2025. So make sure you're there 3 to 7 p.m. We'll have lots of great special guests there. And Matt will be there, and Justin will be there. Michael Pelka is going to stop by. And then we'll also have some good guests. So there you go. That was not a dig at you, Justin.
That's all good.
I just meant there was a kind of a dig at Opelka, but then the way I phrased that, it kind of sounded a little bit like it might have been.
No, I'm not mad. My ego doesn't get hurt by wrong wordings. It's fine.
No, and obviously the implied dig at Matt was already there, so I don't need to say that. That was already implied in the standard right there.
I just assume it's coming now. If it's not there, I get concerned.
Exactly. So there's that. So then we're gonna do that, and then it's the Christmas break, and New Year's break, which seems like a very long time to be off the air. But luckily for you, I won't be totally off the air. I'll be doing a bunch of different stuff between now and then. Even going on Fox News. Yes, it's true. Where I was there today on America's Newsroom with Dana Perino and Bill Hemmer, and yesterday on America Reports. We posted all the clips to social media, so please check them out. Like them, share them, do all that fun stuff. Believe me, they notice when you you comment on them, you share them, you like them. So thank you for doing that. I appreciate it. And Dave Huber sent me a note. Dave, all I can tell you, man, is I don't know, pal. I got nothing. I wish I had an answer for you. All right. See, I don't always have answers to everything. But he was asking me about why certain people get cranky when you ask him certain things. And I just said, I don't know. But yeah, so we'll just leave it at that. I know it sounds like a big mystery, right? It just certain people, get a little short-tempered this time of year, I guess. I'm not one of them. I love Christmas. For me, this is the happiest time of the year. It really is, especially since we're getting a dog on Monday. And I'm really excited to have a puppy. It's been 5 years since I had an infant, and I'm looking forward to it again. Really, really excited.
What kind of dog is it?
I don't even know.
Oh. Well, you should figure that out.
I don't even know.
Do you know the size of the dog? Do you have any information?
It's a little dog.
Oh, so something smaller.
Yeah, something small. And we had to really sell Bridget on this. And the kids don't know, by the way, so it's a secret. Patrick knows, but the girls don't. And all I can say is I hope my marriage survives this one, because I'm a little bit worried about that. As I'm told, I was talking to Dana about this today, because Dana's a big dog person, and she was going on about how basically the first several weeks are just pure hell. There's no other way around it with a puppy.
Oh, yeah, it's going to go to the bathroom in the house. You're going to have your work cut out for you.
Yeah, it just like eats everything, eats your bacon, bites the kids' hands, eats drywall.
Oh, yeah. When we got our first dog when I was a kid, he ran around the kitchen and ate the corners off of like all the cabinets and stuff.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh, and then I was getting all this advice, get an indoor playpen for him. and get these chew toys and do all this stuff. And then I'm realizing this is going to cost more than having a kid. So then you got to feed it too. So I didn't realize that. So,
on the bright side of it, eats the cabinets and the drywall. Maybe it won't get hungry. You'll save money on food.
Now, that's a good point. Yeah. Drywall is very filling. It really is very filling. But I have to. We have to get the dog on Monday. We were going to try to get the dog on Sunday after we left Cape May, but we can't do it on Sunday, so we got to do it on Monday. And I'm filling in for Dana Lash's show on Monday from 12 to 3, her national show. And then we're going to go get the dog. And then on Tuesday, I've got to go to New York and do Jimmy's radio show, which you will not be able to hear on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT Tuesday night. You normally would, because we carry his show, but for whatever reason, they decided to bump me filling in for Jimmy and put on Linda Kearns. So the woman that I advocated for to become a fill-in host here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT is now bumping me on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. So you can, you know, what are you going to do? So that I'm looking forward to that when I tell Bridget Tuesday morning as a puppy's running around, the kids are home from school. Hey, honey, guys, I got to go to New York today. This Fox stuff. I'll be back later. Bye. So wish me luck. Wish me luck. It's going to be fun. It's going to be good.
Are you doing, are they getting the dog on Christmas or I guess when you pick it up?
Well, the thing about dogs is I'm told they have to breathe. Yeah, that's so.
I wasn't sure if you're doing that thing in the movies that I always see. Well, I've never actually heard of anyone doing it in real life where they like stuff the dog into a box with a bow and then it like pops its little head up. It looks cool in the movies. But yeah, I think they need air, so it probably isn't practical.
Yeah, apparently they need oxygen to survive. I was thinking about wrapping it up and boxing it like the aunt in Christmas Vacation. Like she did with her cat.
Yeah.
She wrapped up her damn cat again, you know? But, and apparently you have to walk it, I'm told. So there's that. And my kids said they're going to do that. And I hope, from what I've been told from people that have little kids when they get a dog, is that lasts for about a couple hours.
Oh, yeah, that's not going to happen.
And then they get tired of that. So, yeah, it's going to be great. It's going to be awesome. I'll probably post a lot of videos on social media, maybe documenting the whole thing with the dog. So, probably do that. Yeah.
Yeah, you're going to have to walk that dog. I remember making that pledge to my parents. If we get a dog, I'll walk it every single day. And at first, I walked it pretty regularly. And then my dad ended up doing it. I had video games to play. I had things to do.
Yeah. If anybody gives me bourbon and cigars at the Grand Hotel this time around, just know this. It's going to be put to really, really, really good use this Christmas break. Really good use. That's all I'm saying. Really good use. And Jack Tomasello's wine that he sent me today from Tomasello Winery, that's going to be put to really, really good use this Christmas break. So thank you, Jack. I appreciate it very much. You're going to need it big time. So I was talking today about a number of different things, including how crazy the freaking Democrats are and Barack Obama telling them, hey, hold the crazy, trying to hide the crazy. Like the aunt did on Christmas Vacation with her cat in a box, Obama wants the Democrats to hide their crazy by wrapping them in a box for the holidays, but you're not going to do that. And I'm telling you right now, the civil war in the Democrat Party is going to be so much fun to watch as this plays out, because they're jonesing right now to go after Trump in every way. I want to play a clip for you of that Saturday Night Live actress. What's her name, Matt? Leslie Jones, is that right?
Leslie Jones. She was on Nicole Wallace's podcast, so we might be the first people to see this.
All right, Nicole Wallace's podcast, there are dozens of listeners and subscribers, dozens of them, and this is what she's advocating. Now, I'm playing this for you because I want you to understand, as I've often said, politics is downstream of culture. The culture which is pushing these Democrat operatives and politicians is go crazy, all right? Impeach Trump, go after the cabinet secretaries, impeach them too, lock up ICE agents. This is the kind of nuttiness that we can expect from the Democrat Party. And when she's putting this stuff out there, when Charlamagne the goddess, saying that Jasmine Crockett should be the standard bearer of the Democrat Party. These Democrat politicians are listening, and they're reflective of their base. These people are not saying this because they are hoping to lead the Democrat base. They're saying this because that's what the Democrat base is saying. And they're saying it because they're, I guess, influencers, but they're actually being influenced by the base itself. It is the base itself that is freaking crazy right now. That is the point where I disagree with Senator John Kennedy. I mean, John Kennedy, who I love, said the Democrat loon wing of the party is in charge. No, the loon wing is the Democrat Party. That is the Democrat Party right now. And they are 100% in charge from the grassroots all the way on up top. And when a guy like Obama opens his mouth and says, hide your crazy, nah, they don't want to hear that. They don't want to hear that. They think this is the time right now. You find the Trumpiest Democrat you can, who happens to be a socialist kook, and you put that person front and center, and you make that person the standard bearer. And that's what these people are all about. And I think it's nuts. I mean, it's fun to watch. I'm loving it. I mean, I can't wait. I can't wait to watch this in primary season. But here's Leslie Jones from Saturday Night Live. Take a listen.
How do you think it ends? How do you think the era ends?
Girl, this is what I'm hoping, that midterms people come out and vote like crazy to switch it over, and then the reckoning comes. That's what I want. All everybody that worked for ICE, I want them in jail. I just want a reckoning. I want a reckoning. Y'all know y'all did wrong stuff. You know some of the stuff you did was so wrong. I need a reckoning. Because that's, to me, that's the only thing that's going to make it right.
I want a reckoning, and that's what they want. They want a reckoning. Oh, they want a reckoning big time. That's their entire platform, is a reckoning. That's exactly 100% what they want. And do not think for a second that a moderate Democrat has a chance of rising in the ranks right now with this level of crazy that's out there. No chance. Because it's not what the base wants. Politics works in cycles, and it's very much how 2016 was the era of populism. And you saw this with Bernie Sanders running a populist campaign and Donald Trump running a populist campaign. And I've long said to you, you know, if the party leadership of the Democrat Party, the superdelegates and all the other people had not stopped in and stopped Bernie, Bernie would have wound up being the candidate in 2016. It would have been Trump versus Bernie, two populists running, but with different economic philosophies, one being capitalism and one being socialism. And it would have been something to watch. I think Trump still would have won, but it would have been a much different campaign, obviously. But they stepped in to make sure Bernie could never get the nomination because they could never control him. And they wanted a warmonger like Hillary Clinton, and they thought they were going to get it. They had no idea. They thought they would get that. Now, that was 2016. The mood right now in the country, at least for the Democrats, is chaos and revenge. Remember how in the last election, everybody told us that Donald Trump was going to be the revenge president? This presidency, this term was all going to be about him getting revenge on his enemies. Well, I haven't seen that. I mean, I've seen people who've broken the law be held accountable, which is nice. People like Letitia James, for example. And disgraced non-special counsel Jack Smith, who was in front of Congress today, saying, oh, none of the prosecutions he brought were political. Oh, no, none of them were political at all. Are you freaking kidding me? Of course, there's no audio of what he said to the Oversight Committee today, so we can't play any of that for you. They did it behind closed doors. But of course, it was all politically driven. But Letitia James deserved to be prosecuted. She lied. She's mortgage fraud. She committed mortgage fraud and prosecuted people who did the very same thing. But the mood right now in the electorate, at least among Democrats right now, is revenge and chaos. Chaos because they think that that's what Donald Trump uses to his advantage. They think he creates chaos and they want to do the same thing. And they love these chaotic candidates because they get a lot of airtime. And they look at their social media clicks and they think that that is in real life. So if a Jasmine Crockett or AOC or any of these other people go out there and they generate all these social media clicks, they turn around and go, well, then that's how we win elections. You're not running to be the king of Twitter or the king of Instagram. You're running to be president of the United States. But they don't understand that it doesn't translate. The second thing is that you've got Mandami, who's going to be inaugurated on January 1st. You're about to have the first commie mayor of New York City. So they're looking at that and going, you see, if he can do it, anybody can do it. But, you know, yesterday I was on with Melissa DeRosa, who's a really smart Democrat strategist. And she's been out there saying the same thing, that her party is nuts and her party cannot win if they keep going down this road of socialism. She ran the Love Govs campaign disgraced nursing home killer Andrew Cuomo. She ran his campaign for mayor of New York City. And I got to know Melissa the few times we've been on TV together. And I asked her, I said, you know, were you guys really surprised by this? And she said, yeah, but she also pointed out something that Mamdani only won by a little over 50%. With a socialist message in New York City. So think about that. In the most lefty city in America outside of San Francisco, the guy still only won by a little bit more than 50% or around 50%, even selling that socialist message. So it doesn't sell outside of that. But nevertheless, that's what the Democrats are running on. Chaos and revenge. Going after the Trump administration, and their goal is win the House, impeach, and then it's just going to be a playbook right out of 2018 all over again, and then grind the country to a halt. Now, the reason why they think it may be effective for them is because they won in 2020, or so they think they won in 2020, and they'll believe that if they can stop Trump's agenda and make it all about him, that that'll be their pathway to victory in 2020. But there's, you know, there was a pandemic in 2020. There was rampant mail-in ballot cheating and harvesting and all the other things that happened in 2020. I mean, it was a totally different election. They're taking the playbook from that era, but it's not going to work for them this time around. But that's where they're going right now. That's where they're going. And so what you're seeing right now is you're seeing Democrats who are completely and utterly unhinged. Now, you also have on the side of this now, people that went after Donald Trump are getting their comeuppance, as you call it. Fani Willis is one of those people. Fani Willis, the disgraced former district attorney in Georgia, who was thrown out because of her conflicts of interest, because she was sleeping with her gumata, Nathan Wade, while she was letting the guy bill the people $600,000 a year in that ridiculous prosecution of Donald Trump, which the state of Georgia has now officially dropped all the charges. As you know, they dismissed the case a couple weeks ago. Well, she lost her mind when she was presented with documents showing how much money her office paid her lover, her boyfriend, her little man toy, Nathan Wade, during their witch hunt against President Donald Trump. She testified in front of a Georgia Senate committee regarding her conduct, the conduct of her office, which ultimately she lost her position because of it. She had to be removed from the prosecution because she lied about her relationship with Nathan Wade. This guy also, too, had no business prosecuting that case. He was a glorified parking court attorney. Really, honestly. He was the kind of guy that you would go after, you use if you got your car had a boot on it. Or maybe he'd prosecute you if you didn't pay the city your parking tickets. But he never should have gone after a RICO case against a former president of the United States of America. And the RICO case was so stupid anyway. There was no merit to it. I mean, RICO, that's how they brought down the mafia. Because Donald Trump made a phone call and said, I only need 12,000 votes, and never asked them to print any dummy ballots or stuff any ballot boxes or do anything illegal. But they brought that case. Well, here's a little bit from the hearing today in Georgia, cut number 10.
Screen.
I don't review those documents, so you're asking me to look at documents that I haven't for the first time. What I can tell you is that I allowed Mr. Wade to bill 160 hours a week, and then Mr. Wade would be the first one in the office making sure that my staff arrived. He corrected their behavior. They thought that 8:30 meant 8:30. He taught them that 8:30 means 7:45. He got there before them. He left after him. He taught them how to do this case, and he was a leader to that team and a public servant. And for that, him like me has been threatened thousands of times. You want something to investigate as a legislature? Investigate how many times they've called me the N-word. Why don't you investigate that? Why don't you investigate them writing on my house? Why don't you investigate the fact that my house has been swatted? If you want something to do with your time that makes sense, and you can use all this in your campaign ad, you attacked Fani Willis. What have you done, sir? Nothing.
So I'm going to refer you to the screen. I know you said you don't approve.
I don't look at this. I've never seen it. So I can't talk to you about documents I don't approve and don't review. Can't talk to you about it.
Who does approve the documents in your office when invoices come in?
I thought we'd been through this.
I don't believe you said who reviews the invoices and approves the invoices in your
office.
First
of all, I have no firsthand knowledge of it.
You have no firsthand knowledge.
You want me to testify about something I don't have any firsthand knowledge of?
I'm asking.
So she doesn't know that her office paid the guy over $600,000? She doesn't know that? I mean, how do you not know that? You were in charge. You were in charge of the office. This is why this whole thing was such a joke. Was such a joke from the get-go. This became a money laundering scam for Fani Willis and her boyfriend. And she ran on getting Donald Trump. That was her entire thing. She ran on that like Letitia James ran in New York on stopping Donald Trump. That was her entire message. You know, for people that enter politics, and particularly people that, I shouldn't say enter politics. You want to enter politics and go after somebody politically, fine. That's fine. That's America. That's what it is. I should rephrase it. For people that run for positions of law enforcement, on the idea of getting somebody politically, they are pond scum. They are worse than pond scum, in my opinion. They're kind of crap. It's the bottom of the shoe, or what's about to be the bottom of my puppy's cage in a couple days. That's what they are. The office is not there for you to use to weaponize politically against your opponents. And that's exactly what Fani Willis did. And it's exactly what Letitia James did. I have no use for these people, just like I have no use for Jack Smith either. This is a guy who raided the president's home, raided Mar-a-Lago, former President Trump at the time. Even though, as we talked about yesterday with Brooke Singman from Fox News Digital, even though the FBI said, we do not believe we have probable cause to execute the search warrant, and they went ahead and they did it anyway. Now, I think we all know why they did it, because they were looking for documents related to Crossfire Hurricane. You know that, and I know that, because you're a smart person, and I'm a smart person. We know it. We get it. And we can't prove it yet, but someday I think we will be able to prove that. But they did it anyway because it was all about getting Trump. Their entire strategy was about getting Trump from day one. Remember the false calculation of Democrats going all the way back to 2021 when Joe Biden took office and Donald Trump left the office and didn't stay. Unlike, you know, where he's a dictator and yet he left. They thought, OK, he's the easiest guy to beat. We already beat him. So let's make sure he gets the nomination. So let's go after him with everything we got. The Republican Party will rally around the guy and he'll get the nomination. Then we can beat him again. That was their whole strategy. Otherwise, you just leave the guy alone. You ignore him. Let him go to Mar-a-Lago and post on Truth Social. The Florida governor, Ron DeSantis, had a ton of momentum back then. You remember what it was like back then. Everybody was on Team DeSantis. I mean, not everybody, because I did not take a team back then. I purposely did not. And you remember I said so, but there were a lot of people who did. Oh, DeSantis is my guy. I mean, I don't have to name names because now none of them will ever admit that. But they were, you know who I'm talking about. So he's my guy. Love me some DeSantis. Till he actually got in the race and people realized, wow, he doesn't have what it takes to run a national campaign. Now, maybe one day he will. You know, maybe one day he will be able to pull it off. But it was a spectacular disaster for him. From that Twitter Spaces thing that he did to launch his campaign, which was a technical fiasco, and maybe, I don't know, maybe Elon Musk threw it on purpose. Who knows? But he just didn't have it. And everybody assumed after he had crushed it in Florida with reelection, winning Miami-Dade County by 28 points, a heavily Democrat county, winning Miami, that this guy was going to be the guy. So imagine if you're a Democrat and you're 2021, 2022, and you're terrified about the Florida governor, who's a young guy who just won Florida in massive reelection, and now he's going to be the Republican standard bearer. You want Trump back. So you do everything you can to go after Trump, knowing that the party will probably rally around him. The base will rally around him again, because a lot of people were done with him after January 6th. And Selena Zito writes about this in her book about Butler. And she says that, you know, DeSantis was outpolling Trump among Republicans, and a lot of Republicans had turned their backs on him. They had just been, they were tired, they were exhausted between COVID, between January 6th, they were just enough is enough. Then the raids started. They raided Mar-a-Lago, they started the prosecutions, they arrested him in Georgia, and then people were like, that's it, I'm back on Team Trump. And I think Democrats were hoping that that was exactly how it would play out. Of course, the miscalculation they made was they assumed that their trillions of dollars of reckless spending and all their nonsense was going to cause, I don't know what, some sort of economic utopia. They didn't count on the massive inflation, even though they were warned by people like Larry Summers and others that if you keep spending money like this, you're going to have record inflation. So they lied to us and told us it was transitory and it wouldn't be here that long and blah, blah, blah. And it wasn't real and everything's fine. And so Trump becomes the nominee and they lost because the election was about the economy, and they're between their war on energy and their reckless spending, which they were warned would drive up inflation. Inflation was driven up. And so the guy who became the Republican nominee won. It wasn't that complicated. And I was telling you this years before the election. I said the Democrats are playing a really dangerous game here. If they think they can just make Trump the nominee and that means that they're just going to win, they're going to have a rude awakening. So then they try to get Joe Biden out of the race, thinking that if they get Biden out of the race, maybe they have a chance. There was nothing they could do because it was always going to be a referendum on their disastrous policies. But it was always about going after Trump to weaponize government against him to get him the nomination. That was what it was always about. Fani Willis lost her mind again when she was asked the question about being aware of any conversations with Nathan Wade, her boyfriend, her gumad, her lover, the guy that she made the special prosecutor, even though the guy had no experience in prosecuting these kind of unprecedented novel RICO cases because nobody had ever prosecuted him before. But certainly a guy like this who'd never prosecuted anything even close to some sort of a criminal conspiracy before. But they wanted to live together and they wanted to have the money and they wanted to go on trips and fancy trips and cruises and get luxury handbags and all the things that they did together using the people's money of Fulton County, Georgia. But hey, you get what you get. You don't get upset. And if you elect somebody like that, that's what you get. Cut number 11.
So it's your testimony today that you and Mr. Wade did not have any conversations prior to you taking office relative to an investigation into the 2020 election.
Don't answer that. That is a deliberative privilege of what goes on in a district attorney's mind in the process of...
She wasn't district attorney.
She was.
Prior to being sworn in, she was district attorney?
No, she was not, but you asked...
I'll return to my question. Prior to you being sworn in as district attorney, is it your testimony today that you did not have any conversation with Mr. Wade about investigating the 2020 election?
Do you want to answer?
It's a dumbass question.
I know it is, but go ahead and tell him because it occurred after she took office. But
I didn't know that he was going to commit a crime prior to me taking office. Like, factually, it's impossible.
Okay. Thank you.
But you ran on finding a crime. You ran on going after Donald Trump. That's what you ran on. That's what Fani Willis made her campaign about, was going after Donald Trump, just like Letitia James. So it's show me the man and I'll find you the crime. That's what they did. All right. We got a lot to get to as we continue along here on the 5 o'clock hour. And we still got another 90 minutes to go. And the president speaking tonight at 9 o'clock. What will he say? We'll talk to our buddy, Dr. E.J. Antoni, about what he thinks the president might talk about economically tonight. We'll do that straight ahead. And I want to remind you, Friday, we are live at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. It's going to be a lot of fun. It is our last live show of the year at our Christmas Spectacular this coming Friday, Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey, 3 to 7 p.m. You don't need a ticket. You don't need a reservation. Just come to the show and see us. We'll have fun, and I want to see you there. Dr. Mike Veneria has been my family dentist for years now. I have an appointment with him next week, and Mama Zioli discovered him, or the week after, and Mama Zioli discovered him for our family. For over 12 years, other dentists have been sending their patients to Dr. Mike because he gives people beautiful, beautiful smiles. And that's what you deserve, a beautiful smile. So I would love for you to go see Dr. Mike. I really would. I'd love for you to go see him. I'd love for you to make your appointment. And, you know, they still may be able to get you in before the end of the year and use those year-end dental benefits. Now, put it to you this way. If you're another dentist and somebody comes to you and they've got a complicated dental procedure that they need, a dental implant or something, and you send them to Dr. Mike Veneria. Now, you're putting your name on Dr. Mike, your reputation on this guy. So obviously, if that's being done for over a decade, you know he's that good because otherwise other dentists wouldn't do it. So Dr. Mike is so good that for over 10 years, 12 years, that's what other dentists do. Dental implants are very complex. You don't want to go to the closest dentist necessarily, and you don't want to go to these pop-up chain dental offices. And no, they're obsessed with cost, and Dr. Mike is about care and compassion. So reach out to him today. All you got to do is go to VeneriaDental.com or call his office at 856-786-2020. 856-786-2020. And get a beautiful smile. If you've already had an estimate for a dental implant, get a second opinion. It's worth doing with Dr. Mike because I guarantee you he will give you excellent care. And I know that because I trust my whole family to Dr. Mike Veneria. Veneria Dental, two locations for you, Cinnaminson and Woodbury, VeneriaDental.com.
The Rich Scioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
So tonight the president's going to address the country and we'll find out what he's going to say. Maybe we'll be invading Venezuela, but most likely he'll be talking about the economy. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here today. Big story of the hour brought to you by Dr. Mike Veneria. Veneria Dental, two locations to serve you, Cinnaminson and Woodbury. Go see Dr. Mike for your perfect smile and use those year-end benefits. His office will do everything they can to get you in before the year comes to a close. And don't forget, Friday we are live in Cape May, New Jersey. Dr. E.J. Antoni is the chief economist at the Heritage Foundation, and he is back, and he's better than ever. Doc, how are you, pal?
Rich, I am hanging in. It is great to be back with you.
Great to be back with you. I see you on Fox News all the time when I'm at Fox News all the time.
That's right. I love bumping into you. It makes my day. You know, it's nice to see the hosts and everything, but let's be honest, I'm really there to see you.
And we're there to run into each other in the green room, and I will say they do have good snacks.
the best snacks, yeah. Believe me.
what is your thinking on what the president's going to talk about tonight?
Oh, dear goodness. Rich, you know, everything I'm hearing, it's just all over the place. I mean, it's everything from, like you were just saying, we might be going to war in Venezuela. Dear goodness, I hope that's not the case. Can we please stop worrying about everything going on overseas and just focus on what's going on here at home?
Agree.
I've heard that. I've heard that he's just going to talk about essentially all of his accomplishments thus far. He's going to try to brag about the economy. I've heard that he's going to lay out an agenda essentially for next year, all the things he wants to get done before the midterm. So, I mean, really, it just depends on who you talk to. It seems like it's all over the place on what the heck this address is going to actually be about.
All right, well, let's hope it's not about invading Venezuela, because I have no appetite for regime change. I have no interest in doing that whatsoever. I don't think the American people do either. Assuming it's about the economy, I like what J.D. Vance said in Pennsylvania when he said, you know, you got to be patient here. It takes a little time to undo all the damage that was done by the previous administration. He made a joke. He said, you know, the Democrats talking about affordability is like Charles Manson talking about crime. I mean, they broke these things and it does take time to fix it. If he does focus on the economy, what are some of the positives that he can offer people tonight that and say that we've accomplished so far in 2025?
Well, I think one of the things he can highlight, and this actually just came out yesterday, we got a lot of data from the Labor Department looking at the labor market. And what it showed basically, Rich, was that literally all of the job growth we've had over the last 12 months has gone exclusively to native-born Americans. Foreign-born workers have actually been losing jobs. And so when we look at the labor market, and a lot of the mainstream media like to say, oh, it's so weak, right? We've had months where we've lost jobs. Yeah, you know why we've lost jobs? Because they're kicking illegals out of the country and because they're slashing government jobs like crazy. In fact, every single month of the Trump administration, they have managed to cut the federal workforce. Literally every single month, they have reduced the size so much that federal workers now number fewer than at any point in over a decade. So, yeah, that amounts to job losses. And that's good news for the taxpayer. And it's good news for the broader economy. Look, just like the Biden administration hired hundreds of thousands of these bureaucrats to make the jobs numbers look good, now firing them all is going to make the jobs numbers temporarily look bad. But that's how you get the economy right. That's how you get the government right-sized, and it's how you get the broader economy back on the path to long-term health. So, again, where is the pain in the labor market? They talk about, oh, the labor market's weak. Where is it weak? among the bureaucracy and among illegal aliens, two groups that, frankly, I don't really care about. I want American citizens to be able to get jobs. I want American citizens to have good paying full-time jobs with benefits where they can raise a family, buy a home, etc. And that's basically what we've seen so far this year. If we look at, for example, not just how much people are getting paid, but what those weekly paychecks can actually buy, Rich, what we've seen this year is an increase of about 1.3%. Compare that to Biden, when what the average American's weekly paycheck could buy fell by about 4%. So that tells you two things right away, both of which the vice president mentioned when he was in PA. Number one, things are getting better now. They've stopped getting worse, and now they've started getting better. But number two, we haven't yet undone all the damage. We're only about, let's say, a quarter of the way there. So that means folks are still really hurting because they are still worse off than they were when Biden took office almost 5 years ago. So again, moving in the right direction, but still a very long way to go.
EJ, what about consumer confidence right now? And when you look at spending around the holidays right now, do you get any insight into that?
It's really, really mixed, Rich. You know, when we look at spending, we've developed what I like to call a barbell distribution, where it's a lot on the two ends and not as much in the middle. Over half of consumer spending, well, I shouldn't say over half, it's really about half. About half of all consumer spending right now is coming from just the top 10% of income earners. That's not a good sign. Now, is that a leftover fact from the Biden administration? Yeah, it started under Biden. Unfortunately, though, it has continued over the last year. We haven't yet been able to get the middle class back to a place where they're able to spend as much as they used to. When I'm talking about spending here, I'm talking about what they're actually buying, not just the amount of money. Yes, they might be spending more in terms of dollars, but they're not able to actually get more physical stuff or actual services for that money. And then on the far other end of the distribution, the very low income people, they're getting so much still in government subsidies and in welfare benefits that they also are able to spend above what you might consider to be their quote unquote income. So you have those people living high on the low, and then you have the very high income earners who are still doing just fine. And the middle class, unfortunately, is getting squeezed. So that's all, I think, really important context for when we talk about something like Black Friday spending numbers, which, yes, that's an important datum point. I agree. But we also have to put that into the context of saying who is actually doing the spending here and how much are they actually able to get for all of that spending. So, again, I think there's progress, but it's nowhere near enough. We haven't yet, you know, made people whole, as it were, in terms of all of the losses they've suffered the last several years.
And Dr. EJ Antoni, when we think about the war on energy, and I mean, to me, this is the most positive accomplishment, was ending the war on energy and getting energy going again. And I do believe, the optimist in me believes, that that's going to pay dividends in 2026. Am I wrong on that?
No, Rich, I think that's spot on. That's great analysis. People seriously underestimate, no matter how many times I come on your show and talk about it, people seriously underestimate, I think, how much the price of energy affects all other prices, the price of everything we do and the price of everything we buy. This is especially true, you know, if you go to the supermarket and you grab that gallon of milk, you grab your case of coffee, you grab your bag of bread, whatever the case may be, the carton of eggs, all of those things. How did they get there? How did they get to the store? They got there on a truck with diesel that was fueled by diesel fuel, right? As you're looking around the neighborhood, especially this time of year, Amazon's making a ton of deliveries, right? All of those Amazon vans, what's fueling them? Gasoline. You bring down those prices, you are going to bring down prices throughout the entire economy. And it affects the service sector too, especially when we start talking not just about diesel and gas, but also utilities like natural gas. That's another really big one. So again, you bring down those prices, which is what we're seeing, and you will start bringing down prices throughout the economy. One big hiccup we're still dealing with, though, is electricity. And I know the data centers are getting a lot of play there, and yeah, I understand that does represent an increase in demand. But the bigger problem we're seeing is the decrease in supply. And that is a direct mm-hmm. result of all of these stupid stupid green energy mandates that were put in place by the Biden administration that have been shuttering coal plants, that have been shutting down actually some nuclear and natural gas plants as well, and also putting up all of these, you know, these turbines, these wind turbines, these solar plants, solar farms, I should say. And all of those things are unreliable sources of energy. They're not cost effective. And even adding that that kind of power into the grid actually increases the average cost, because getting electricity that way is so much more expensive than things like natural gas, nuclear, or coal. So the net result has been a huge increase in the cost of electrical generation. And the way you combat that is simply reversing all of those bad policies. So that means taking the nuclear plants and the coal plants out of mothballs, which we're already doing in some cases. Look at Three Mile Island, right? It also means building a lot more natural gas plants to get that generative capacity way, way up.
And EJ, I guess then when you're thinking about the supply side of this, and you've got these nuclear reactors and everything coming online, and all these things take time, as those things come online, then the supply is there, so it can meet the demand. But again, it takes time. So I think the vice president's message of saying, hey, be patient, is a lot better than the message of saying everything's great, because the Biden administration tried that message and it doesn't work. I go and I buy my groceries, I see the receipt, I know what I'm spending, and you can't spin your way out of that. No one can. I don't care if you're a Democrat or a Republican.
Exactly, Rich, and that's why I get so frustrated with our friends on the right when they start talking about how great the Trump economy is. I understand that you want to cheerlead for the president, and I also understand that Donald Trump has made tremendous progress and has been fixing a lot of Biden's mistakes, and he is making things better. I understand all that, but you really have to emphasize the patience part of this, and you have to sympathize with the American people who have been in a lot of pain. It's not a matter, Rich, of saying, please give us 18 months. Please be patient with us for 18 months so we can fix these problems. You're asking people who have already been patient for 48 months under Biden and have suffered under Biden to be patient for another year and a half. So what you're really saying is, listen, it's going to be 5.5 years in total of financial pain before we can say, all right, things are genuinely better now. And that is a tough pill to swallow. And this is part of why, going back to what we were saying earlier about those consumer spending numbers, the middle class still getting squeezed, even though the middle class has made tremendous progress this year in terms of what their incomes can actually buy, a lot of those incomes are still going to things like paying financing charges on their credit card debt. When you rack up over $1 trillion in aggregate of credit card debt, that is not going to get paid down overnight. So you need to increase people's real wages, their inflation-adjusted wages, enough so that they can not only afford to live, but then have extra money on top of that to pay down that debt. And only then will they finally have extra money for extra spending, as it were, before they can do things like take the family on a vacation again. So I really, really just want to sympathize with all those folks who are hurting financially out there. It is tough. We get it. And we're working as hard and as fast as we can to fix it, because we know how hard and how tough it has been for you and still is.
Well, maybe that'll be the president's message tonight. If it is, it'll be a good message, I think, and one that would be well received. And I think that's the message that he should give. Dr. EJ Antoni, always a pleasure, my friend. Follow him on X at Real EJ Antoni. Accept no substitutes. Real EJ Antoni, chief economist at the Heritage Foundation. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you, Rich. Always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Chris is in Collegeville. Chris, how are you tonight?
Good, Rich. How are you?
Doing all right.
Listen, you don't have the dog yet, right? You don't
Correct.
Have the puppy.
I'm we
going
do not.
To try to talk you out of the puppy. Listen. I love my dog. I'm going to love it more when I don't have it anymore. You can't go on vacation. You can't go out to eat. You can't take a long, you say, oh, I want to take the kids and go on a nice long day trip somewhere. I want to, maybe you're out at some friends at a 4th of July party and, you got to stay overnight. For whatever reason, you drank a little too much, you got to stay overnight. Oh, man, I can't because I got the dog at home. So I'm telling you, getting up at 2 in the morning, especially with the puppy, I'm telling you, this look on my daughter's faces when we got the dog, they were just, I could never take my dog from my girls. It would absolutely crush them. But if we didn't have the dog, they wouldn't know, and I wouldn't have a problem with it. It's just, maybe you like looking at the stars, when you can at 12:30 at night. But, I don't know. When it's 2 o'clock, when it's 2 degrees outside, you got to take the dog out. When it's 104, you got to take the dog out. I don't know.
Chris,
you don't have it yet.
I feel like we're too far down this dog hole, to speak.
Nope, they'll get over it. You said they don't all know, right?
Only Patrick.
They don't all know yet. So I don't know. There's time. There's still time.
Did my wife set you up for this?
No. I'm just
all
trying
right.
to help. I'm not trying to help a fellow father not get in the same mess that I'm in.
Thank you, Chris. God bless, buddy. I appreciate it.
Merry Christmas. Bye.
Merry Christmas to you. President said earlier, I kind of missed this when he was speaking at the airport with the press. I didn't really catch this. It was kind of hard to hear the audio wise, but they cleaned it up a little bit. Dan Bongino, apparently leaving the FBI. Now, we'd heard these rumors about this, but the president seemed to confirm this today. Take a listen.
Oh, Dan did a great job. I think he wants to go back to his show. Yeah.
I guess Bongino is out. Look at that. All right, we got a big fourth and final hour coming up straight ahead for you. I want to remind you, Kate May will be live there coming up on Friday. Okay, so don't miss it. But we got a lot to get to in the next hour, including those AI data centers. Well, Bernie Sanders wants to put a moratorium on it. Will that happen? Bob's Little Sports Shop, my great friends over at Bob's. I'd love for you to go see them. I love the Second Amendment. I love firearms, and I love the people at Bob's Little Sports Shop because they'll take great care of you. And if you're a last-minute shopper like I am, they're open Christmas Eve. That's right. Bob's gift cards make great last-minute gifts. And for every $100 you spend, you get $10 in Bob's bucks that you can use all throughout 2026. Great gear, great firearms, even things like coffee. Wonderful people there will help you find the perfect firearm. And for everybody on your list, those Bob's gift cards, you just can't go wrong. So go see them. Family-owned in New Jersey for over 60 years. You know they're doing something right. And the reason why they're doing something right is because they take great care of their customers. And they're good people, and they know what they're doing, and they know what they're talking about. They have a range, and they have range safety certified officers so you can learn how to properly use a firearm. They have classes on cleaning, and storing your firearm, taking care of it, all of it, so you can learn how to shoot. And Bob's is there for you every step of the way. So go see them. They're right on Delsea Drive in Glassboro, New Jersey. You can go to bobslittlesportshop.com and check it out. And then stop in, say hello. They're our official Second Amendment sponsor, and we love them. And I love the fact that they stand for freedom and liberty. All right, bobslittlesportshop.com. This ad sponsored by Bob's Little Sports Shop.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.